Most of us dream of running away to join the circus, but instead of joining the circus, a group of women have created their own circus. They're called Mimbra, and their show is called The Exploded Circus, with six all-female performers and with a set created by critically acclaimed designer Lauren Elstein and music by experimental composer Quinta. Today I'm happy to be talking to the joint artistic director, Lena Johansson. Hi, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your show's called The Exploded Circus. Can you explain what that means?
It's what it says on the package. Take all the thing you think about with circus. Your romantic idea of circus, you know, with the like fairground horses and like the trapezes and the juggling balls and elephant stools and, you know, all those things. And it's exploded. And that explosion is frozen mid-air. We took great inspiration from The Exploded Shed by Cornelia Parker. And also there's various photographs. David Spriggs did a whole series of exploded, I think it was flower, you know. And I was just fascinated by the absolute beauty that was contained in the middle of an actually very destructive act. But just when you stop that moment mid-air, how beautiful that moment was. And that's what me and the designer Lauren Elstein sort of started with and went, how do we explore this? Yeah, what happens next?
I really want you to talk about the set because I want to kind of imagine the shards, the horses up in the air. You know, how does it visualize itself?
As the audience walk in, you basically have this amazing lighting coming from the back, going out into rays into the auditorium. And you see like the pelmet, like the proscenium arch, you know, the sort of like things that the performers normally enter through, that's hanging mid-air with the curtains just blowing out into the auditorium space. You got a rope, the one that circus performers normally twirl themselves up and down, that's like hanging from the back all the way to the front. You got a trapeze that's curled up. You got silks all over.
And so it's complete chaos.
It's complete chaos. And at the same time, you know how chaos beautiful. Can also be very yeah. beautiful. Yeah. You got juggling clubs hanging everywhere, and you got umbrellas, you know, for the like tight wire walkers. You got umbrellas everywhere. And it's just so colourful and so visual. And Lauren, who I've worked with on several productions, she just like has made it into this beautiful moment out of the chaos. And together with Amy May's lighting design, which just makes it a delight. It's a real, when we premiered it last weekend in Worthing, they're literally sitting by the door. As people walked in, they just went, wow. And the most recurring comment was, I have never seen anything like this.
What? So that is incredible to see something completely original, you know, because nowadays it's so hard to find something original. It's so exciting. So tell us about, you know, in the literature I read, you say the world's changing fast around us. And how does the Exploded Circus reflect our times?
Well, the Exploded Circus is to some extent a very playful approach to the fact that a bunch of circus performers have, you know, their world has just totally changed for them.
And they don't know what's happened. That's what they've got to uncover, I suppose.
They don't know what happens. Yeah. One of them walks in from backstage going, whoa, I thought I came in to do the opening act. What is this? Another one crawls out from behind a bunch of clothes she's been hiding under. The aerialist sort of like drops down from above, you know, in the truss above to like, you know, be quite grumpy about the fact that, you know, she was the prima donna and now her stage is all in a mess. So it's in a playful way, just looking at how do we deal with it when our world is changing. And I think a lot of us are feeling that our world is changing at the moment, you know.
It's all very unsure, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just with the different characters in the show, it's just looking at that in a very, you know, in a microcosmos. So the clown, she takes it in her stride and with a laughter and several backflips, she just, you know, take advantage.
Of course she does, because she is always in chaos. A clown is creating chaos.
Yeah, so. And yeah. It's about, you know, being in that moment. Mm. And she goes, okay, this has changed. What do we do now? Mm. Let's sort it out. This show must go on.
Fabulous.
And I guess that's saying within theatre and circus, the show must go on in the same way that our lives have to go on. The world is changing. We have to individually all find a way for our lives to go on. Like I say, the prima donna is grumpy because her, you know, stage has changed. She's not, you know, top of the world anymore. But she has to find a new way of dealing with that and find new alliances. The madam of the circus is a grumpy, quite a grumpy bitter.
So what's her
lady.
Role then?
She is the basically madam. She was the wife of the circus director. She comes in and having been demoted to sell popcorns outside, whereas actually she wanted to be doing her trick bike performance, which she joined the circus to do, but instead she gets stuck in the box office. So she starts.
That reflects a lot of women's lives.
Yes, and she was sort of in the shadow of that husband. So she she comes in and she is trying to find out why this has happened, and she's not pleased about it. But then she understands that actually she doesn't need to be the boss anymore. She can just do what she wanted to do, and she can be part of the team instead of like pretending to be in charge of them all. And so basically new alliances, new friendships, new approaches are created, and it ends up in, it's just a real celebration of connecting with each other and of working together and of finding our own place in a place, like finding who we are happy to be and what we're happy to do.
Wonderful, wonderful. What stunts can we expect to see then?
A lot. So there is acrobatics, and with acrobatics also something called Chinese diving hoops. So you imagine hoops, like hula hoops are stacked on each other, and the acrobat is doing various stunts and dives and flips through them. We've got an amazing juggler, Lynn Scott, with clubs and balls and various things, balancing brooms, whatever she gets her hands on. We got three aerialists. So Rebecca going on silks and on gymnastic rings, and again, anything she can hang on. Coral working on the rope, but also just she climbs anything. One moment she hangs from the truss itself, which is 6 meters up in the air, and even I get nervous, and I'm used to work with this. And Farrell works on the tipping hoop, and also is a strong physical theatre performer who helps to drive the story forward.
Fantastic. Now, I want to talk about that. So what are the background of these women? I suppose they have all brought different skills and background experiences to the show.
Yeah, they're all... They're all from a physical theatre background, from circus background, and then mixing it with using that circus as a way of performing. So I'm weaving a physical story out of the circus skills and using them to create characters and to celebrate the skills at the same time as getting the performers a little bit closer to the audience. The training in circus is something that takes years, and they've all done years of training as well as performing with a wide variety of other circus companies. So I really have like the top range of.
So did you cast them personally?
Yes.
Oh, what a wonderful job.
Yeah, we had an amazing audition where I was also so.
It must have been such fun.
It really actually. And actually, even, and it was so hard because we had so many good women in that room. And what really made me really happy was that actually the feedback from the other ones, even the ones that we didn't cast, was that they had a great 2 days.
Really got to know
two
them.
2 days of audition, because you need to see not only their skills, but also how they work as a group.
Have
and
a gel.
How they approach, how they approach creating work.
Yeah, now that's what I want to talk about. Was it written before, or is this based on improvisation together?
So this show in particular is, the idea has grown over 3 years in mine and the designers and several other people's head. So we have done a research and development period like a couple of years ago, from which I started a sort of storyboard. So it's not a written script because we don't really use much words. So for me, it made more sense of storyboarding it a bit like you would do in film. It's literally my little drawings and sort of stick figures.
You got to start somewhere.
Quite a lot of cut and pasting, taking a lot of inspiration from also the designer Lauren. Obviously, she works so much with visual inspiration and images. So we have like a Pinterest board with about, 300, 400 images on it just for this show. So then I storyboarded from there. We then did another research and development where we worked with actually putting up the set itself and trying out all these, you know, ideas that I had of what could be possible or not.
How fantastic that you can get funding for that.
Yeah. But that's partly also why it's taken 3.5 years to get this show on the ground.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of work to get the support and funding. And I feel very privileged that we now have the chance to make this idea and take it on tour.
So you got the space, and then through experimenting together, the story kind of got more and more. I suppose everybody's bringing something to the table, aren't they?
So, totally. As soon as, you know, you have an idea and you put it to a bunch of performers. I worked with some of Mimbra's long-time collaborate performers to develop this idea. And you give them an idea, I know where it will go. But once you put it in their hands, it sometimes just goes somewhere totally unexpected. And that's the beauty of devised theatre and devised circus.
How exciting. So you create the show, and then how do you decide, right, that is it? You know, is it like, is it kind of constant eureka moments? Like, oh my God, that's such a good idea. Then you've got to just get it. It must be the hard thing of pulling it all together, I imagine.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting question. And somebody asked me that before, like, how do you know? It's a bit like when you look for a restaurant and, you know, you're all really hungry and you're in a foreign town and you don't know which one you should go to. And you get to one, you think, that looks okay. But maybe if I walk around the corner, there will be a better one. And sometimes when you devise, it's like that. You go, this is a good idea. Like, this looks good. You know, should we stick with this one and work with it? Because if we work with it, it will, you know, become really, it will really grow. Or should we keep looking for, like, if there's another scene that would work better? And to some extent, that's experience. To some extent, it's also gut feeling. And sometimes I can look at a scene and it's a total mess. But I know that with this performance and with the time we have and with the, you know, idea behind it, we can make that fantastic. Other times you have to go, It sort of looks good now, but I don't think I can.
You just
make
got
it
to
grow.
Cut it out.
You have to work a bit on instinct and also just keep pushing
Do it because it's unspoken? You've got the storyboards. You're going from one thing to another. Does it sort of just like create itself in the end, and then like that's middle, beginning, and ending? Do you know what I mean? It's like.
I mean, I've split it up into scenes, and you work on each scene, and it's a back and forward process. Like, in the beginning of the rehearsal process, I worked with the performers on developing their characters.
Wow!
Then we had to spend a couple of weeks of dealing with rigging and loads of black strings, which is how we hang loads of things in the air.
Yes, because also this is not just being on stage.
No.
This is so much more complicated.
There is so much to it. The opening image that we talked about before, that is, by the end of the show, is completely changed into something else, which I won't give away because it's a fantastic end image, but it's a bit of a surprise.
So they've got to move all that
and
around.
And they move all of that around. They do it all within the show, and the performers do it themselves. There's no other crew on the stage during the performance. So there's a lot, like the actual like logistics itself is a choreography in itself.
Yeah.
And then obviously you have to make it like a balance between not trying to hide it, but make it look, you know, look tidy enough, and at the same time allowing the characters to be within that and making sure that there's constantly also beautiful choreography or skills that like is feeding into that scene. So it was quite an advance. It was quite a complicated show to create, I must say. But it means that it does keep feeding itself as well. In the end, yes, it is pulling together all those different scenes, and for me to then go, okay, all of those scenes made sense in my head. Does it now make sense to a person outside? And I invite people into the rehearsal room, and I get feedback from the restaurants, and I, you know, it's a constant dialogue with the audience as well. And seeing now it's when it grows, when it's in front of an audience.
So even now, because you're going on tour very excitingly all over England and Wales, I should say, will you be constantly tweaking the show?
Yeah, it does grow. The thing that makes it grow the most is the audience.
Wow.
Is once the performers can start to play with the audience, and it's a very open show. We don't have a fourth wall. It's like direct in there with the audience and acknowledge the audience and play with them. So that makes...
So they're screaming, shouting, clapping, laughing, you react.
Yeah, totally. And the performers take so much energy from that. And to find the real timing and the pace of the show, you need to have an audience there. And the performance grows so much, and they find things then, and they find things to play with, and their characters grow so much. Then when I see that happens, then I can tweak on that.
Yeah, then you can give notes afterwards.
After a few of the shows running, then I can go, okay, do you know now, this moment has grown loads. Let's just have a little bit rehearsal to give that more space. Or actually, now this moment is not as relevant as before. Mm. Let's, you know, make sure that doesn't, you know, take too much focus. We can move on to the next thing. So it is a growing adventure.
So exciting. Now, I just want to talk about rehearsals, because you're all physical. So you're all sort of gymnasts, acrobats, dancers. You know, what do you do to warm up? What's that like?
I got this special warm-up, which I've developed over several years with like a corruption of just taking inspiration from loads of other people. Anyone who has ever worked with me on a show, there's certain tracks that they will jump up and they will know exactly what to do. It's loosely based on something that's called body weather, which I think is an Asian sort of health, body and mind exercise, really. Mm. But it includes just a lot of moving up and down a space and playing with different steps and a lot of coordination. So where you're like, you know, you're warming up your head as well as your body by, you know, challenging what you do with your legs the same time as what you do with your arms at the same time as what you do with the rest of the body. So for me, it's as well as warming up for the rehearsals, it's also about building stamina and strength for the tour. Mm. I've also recently taken quite a lot of inspiration from something called Fighting Monkey, which is another sort of fitness craze. And it's all about, you know, acknowledging that sometimes when we do fitness training, it's in a very sort of sterile and protected environment.
Definitely.
You go to gym, you have your machine, and you do it exactly like this.
Very boring.
But then when we're out in the world, you know, or if you do a sport, or if you're performing on stage, or if you're going climbing, running, cycling, we deal with a lot of unexpected things. Mm-hmm. And if the way we train is in a very protected environment, our bodies are not prepared for then dealing with the
shocks.
The shocks and the unexpectedness, and that's where injuries are then more likely to occur. Mm. So there is a whole lot of exercises, and some of them just available online in videos, where it's all about, I mean, literally the performers will be two performers trying to push each other over. And it sort of looks quite violent. Why do you do this to each other? But because when you're dealing with acrobatics and people balancing on your bicycle, like standing on a bicycle to balance, or several people, you know, in one go on a rope, you have to deal with the unexpected. And so your body's fitness and your body's awareness need to be ready for that.
Yeah.
So we have a whole lot of exercises based around that. And also taking weight of each other, because it's like carrying another person's body is way better than to carry a weight, because carrying a weight is totally different.
What, so you're running around doing piggybacks?
We are literally running around doing piggybacks. We got really good exercise, which everyone loves. Going from like really small kids to like any adult class. It's basically just like you're standing ready. It's a bit like... you know when they jump over the hurdles in athletics? So it's like that. You do a run up, and as if you're going to jump over a hurdle, you jump onto the other person's back, who starts running. The timing is quite crucial. If they start running too early, the person who jumps lands on the floor. Wow. If they start running too late, they both end up on the floor. Timing between the performers.
Again,
which
timing,
which is crucial, not only for the physical trick, but also for the performance skills. Mm. Timing is everything, especially in something like
especially because but also remember, you're catching someone's hand.
Yes.
You know, this is life. You know, this is injury time. This is ambulance time, you know.
No, the physical awareness is so important. But I also think when you reach that physical awareness and with your other performers, then you also reach a good understanding of timing with the audience, which is the thing that will make them laugh or not laugh.
So tell us about working with all women. Is this what Mimbra always does, or is this a one-off?
Most of our show, we're a female-led acrobatic company, and me and Sylvia and Emma set the company up a long time ago. It's coming up to 20 years ago.
Oh my God.
And we set it up because we wanted to challenge the stereotypes of women in and of the female body in acrobatics and circus and in dance. And this idea that it was always a strong man throwing a small petite woman.
Yeah.
And that being, you know, not so small ourselves, but, you know, just in between. It was like, well, what are we then? We're apparently too big to be the flyer.
Because you're tall, you're not a petite type.
Yeah.
No.
And
you're not curvy, you're strong.
And it was such a thing of like, oh, well, what am I then? If I can't be the flyer, like, why can't I be the bass?
Yeah.
So we created a trio as we graduated from Circus Space, what's now National Centre of Circus. So we created a trio between us and did our thing. And we were like, okay, if, because we're more similar size, if I can't do this just myself carrying you, there's three of us, so two of us can do that trick carrying you. And so we ended up like basically creating and cheating. You know, there was tricks we couldn't do, so we cheated. And then we had people in training space going, oh, that looks really interesting. Mm-hmm. And we realized that actually that thing of overcoming your weaknesses or overcoming barriers can sometimes be a way of finding a really original way of doing things.
Excellent.
And that inspired us to start a company together and to create choreographies and to create show.
Are they still in Mimbra?
Yeah, so Sylvia is just gone on maternity leave.
Oh,
she's just
congratulations.
She's given birth to her second child. But she's around. She was working, she was working on the show literally up until the week before she left.
Oh, my God.
Helping to coach.
Coaching.
Okay,
I was a bit worried.
Although, actually, we have done a wonderful... they did some filming with her and some of our other performers or teachers who happen to be pregnant at the moment, who are not in the show, but
beautiful.
They did a little film. So there's a short film coming out later this year, I'll let you know about, which is celebrating pregnant women moving.
Lovely.
So it's just, not all of our shows are all female, but most of our shows, we decide from show to show if we feel it's right or not, but a lot of our shows are, because unfortunately 20 years later, it feels like it's still important to create and portray a strong image of women on stage, and that women still don't get the same space as men on the stages, and that there are still stereotypes.
So it's brilliant what you're doing, and I'm very excited for you. Where are you going on tour? Where can people catch you? Well, I've got it written down. I'll just read out. I've got Worthing, Leicester, Salford, Luton, Llanelli, I can't say it, in Wales, and Winchester. But you've also got an exciting news that you're going to be in London in August.
We are going to be in London, and this is a new venture. It's called Live in the Square, and it's at Grosvenor Square in West London.
That is just off Oxford Street. It's very near Selfridges, by the way, for people listening.
Yes! And it's basically a pop-up theatre, a pop-up outdoor theatre. It's going to be super exciting. They will have various events going on around it, and a real immersive event. It's the 1st to the 5th of August. Mm. It's part of a wider festival that's going on there. So there's I think another week there's English National Ballet, and another one is Ronnie Scott, and then Mimbra with the Exploded Circus.
God.
And I think it's going to be a real enjoyable, immersive event to go to. So I'd love to have as many people as possible coming.
And what about going on tour? Because I know you've told me you've got two children. How does that work then?
That works by having a brilliant partner, you know, and properly sharing the care of our children. I am going, this summer I'm going on tour for most of the shows. And yeah, it's Llanelli.
Yeah, well done. A Swedish person can say it better than me.
In Wales. And we're also going up to Glasgow. It's like going all over UK really. It's some of them I will bring the children along
if it's possible.
And other times they stay with their dad and I go off, and then I, you know, pay off to spend some time with them when I come back. It's always interesting. When we were in Worthing, where we just opened, you know, the kids are really excited about it, as well as missing me, and I miss them. But they were supposed to come on a Saturday for the show, but instead they called me in a flush on Friday and said, we want to be there for the opening. And it was a whole bit of drama trying to arrange for them to come up, you know, straight after school and all of that. And then once they came, you know, the youngest one would not let go of my hand. And, you know,
The
oldest one was so pleased about being on an opening and being part of the glamour. So, you know, it's not easy. Let's be honest. It is not easy being a working mother. But, you know, like you said, I'm from Sweden. And, you know, already when I was little, you know, most women worked. It's not a strange thing. It's what you do. It's hard. You make it work. It's a constant collaboration between the two parents.
Wonderful. I'm really excited for you. I mean, your journey, just quickly, let's just talk about your history. So how did you end up going to circus school from Sweden in Britain?
Do you know, it's one of those. I was totally set for so many years through my teenage years that I was going to become a journalist.
Yeah.
And then I finished my equivalent of A-levels. And in Sweden, it's quite common to then take a sort of like a year off before you go off to university. And I
gap year, darling.
Gap year, yeah. And I really wanted like some time off, just traveling, you know, getting, you know, away from studies. And so I actually went traveling in South America, and then I also randomly applied to a circus school because some friends applied, and I had just learned to juggle, and I thought that would be a fun thing to do for a year. And yeah, that year extended a bit, so here I am.
Fantastic.
Went to that circus school and then wanted more, and that's how I ended up
and
coming
you
to England.
Instead of joining, you've created your own, and that is so exciting. Everyone's got to go and see the Exploded Circus.
And I should do a special shout out. This weekend, we're in Leicester at the Curve Theatre. It's part of a family festival. And so anyone from anywhere close to Leicester, please come and see us there. It's on a Saturday and Sunday.
And for more information, go to mimbre.co.uk, and I'll spell that mimbre.co.uk, but it'll all be written on our website. Thank you so much, Lena, for coming out to Radio Gorgeous. It is fascinating what you do, and gosh, you look so strong. I'm so impressed.
Thank you so much, and you look gorgeous yourself.
Thanks so much. But even more extraordinary women, always go to Radio Gorgeous.